A traffic jam in a vital shipping corridor threatens to snarl global trade. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A giant container ship has lodged itself on the banks of Egypt's Suez Canal. It's currently blocking traffic in the area, which sees 50 ships, or 10% of the world's trade, pass through each day. All morning, tugboats and diggers have been attempting, so far unsuccessfully, to dislodge the more than 1,000-foot-long ship named the Ever Given. The BBC's Stephen Ryan has more on that story.
The incident happened early on Tuesday morning, shortly after the Ever Given entered the canal, heading north from the Red Sea toward the Mediterranean. Registered in Panama, it was en route from southern China to Rotterdam. The ship's owner, Taiwanese transport company Evergreen Marine, said it had been blown off course by a suspected gust of wind just north of the port of Suez. The ship ran aground and turned sideways, blocking traffic in the canal from both directions. Carl Hsu, boss of Willemsen Ship Management, says his company has three vessels in the canal and is now concerned about delays.
The Suez Canal has about 19,000 ships passing through annually, and what we will see now is the ships missing their slots. Normally, in situations like this, it doesn't take more than a few hours to pull the ships off the ground. The Suez Canal has some of the world's largest tugs with the strongest bollard pulls in order to tackle situations like this. So I hope this will be cleared up very quickly.
The Ever Given is one of the new breed of mammoth container ships, which can carry more than 10,000 standard goods containers, usually on the busy sea route between China and Northern Europe. Now Egypt says it has reopened the canal's older channel in order to divert traffic. But Dr. Sal Mercogliano, a maritime historian and former merchant mariner, told the BBC the grounding will have knock-on effects.
This vessel was heading northbound when she lost all power, meaning she lost her propulsion and, more importantly, she lost her steering. And they've been trying to pull her out. They've been unable to do that. And ships are piling up north and south of her right now.
The operation to remove the Ever Given could include removing large amounts of sand from around the areas where the vessel is grounded. But that could take days, according to Cairo 24 News, who cited an official at the Suez Canal Authority. I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now, global oil prices are solidly higher as investors fret about the impact that blockage in the Suez Canal will have on global oil supply. Reuters reports five tankers carrying liquefied natural gas were unable to pass through the canal. Both Brent and West Texas Intermediate crude prices are up more than 2.5%. The tussle over COVID-19 vaccine supplies across Europe continues to rumble on. Today, the European Commission is expected to propose tougher controls on vaccine exports, as the BBC's Nick Beek reports.
The EU says it's unacceptable that while it has exported more than 40 million vaccine doses in the past 2 months, including 10 million to the UK, it's got next to nothing in return. Commission sources insist their proposals would not amount to an export ban, but a means of better ensuring Europe gets a stable supply of shots. I understand that under the plans, every shipment set to leave the EU would be considered on key criteria: the vaccination rate of the destination country and how many jabs or components it itself is exporting. Officials would also look at how well the manufacturer is fulfilling its contract to the EU and check it's not only hitting targets by sending millions of doses right before deadlines. British sources stress the UK already sends vital components for the Pfizer shot to the EU and that Britain played a key role investing early in vaccine development.
That's Nick Beek reporting from Brussels there. Well, as the EU races to get its hands on vaccine supplies, some people are taking to the dark web to get their hands not just on vaccines, but faked vaccine passports and COVID test results. Researchers say they've seen a sharp increase in vaccine-related ads on part of the internet only accessible through specific browser tools. The BBC's Joe Tidy explains why.
There are many countries, of course, around the world who are struggling to vaccinate their population. There are many millions of people who are desperate for a vaccine. So there will be a proportion of those people who are on the dark web marketplaces, the hacker forums, who are looking for that silver bullet to get life back to normal. The hackers or the criminals are either somehow getting hold of these vaccines and putting a premium on them and selling them on these marketplaces, or they're faking it and hoping that a few people will be fooled into sending them money in the hope they will send the vaccine when in actual fact they don't have any vaccines at all.
And as you've reported, sellers of vaccines appear to be from the US, the UK, Spain, Germany, France, Russia. The list goes on. There's big money to be made from this too, isn't there? They're getting a lot of money for these vaccines that aren't even verified to be actual COVID vaccines.
Yeah, that's right. The thinking is, from the researchers I've been speaking to at Checkpoint who did this research, that some of these vaccines will indeed be real, and therefore they'll be making a lot of money because they'll have feedback from customers that's good, and they'll have other customers who are very prepared to spend the money on getting them.
Now, when it comes to cracking down on some of this stuff, it's very hard to trace some of these things, isn't it? You know, people can buy and sell in Bitcoin and other things that are much harder to trace.
Yeah, that's it. The authorities are becoming much, much better these days at following the money, as they say, across the blockchain. You can follow the money and in some cases find out where the criminals are and who they actually are in terms of their identity. And then, of course, there are other problems around the vaccine passports and these fake negative tests of COVID-19 being faked very, very easily by cyber criminals. You send them your details and a picture and your name and, you know, the fake date when you got your jabs, and they'll put that on a PDF document and send it back to you, and it looks very, very good. So Checkpoint is saying, look, we need to crack down on this. The only way to do that is to add some sort of verifiable QR code or barcode to stop this in its tracks.
The BBC's Joe Tidy, thanks so much for breaking this all down for us.
Thank you.
Good food for thought there. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.